You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Here we are in week 4 of sheltering in place. And, you know, there's a lot of bad news out there, Ron, but there's also some good news. And those are the things I want to talk about tonight, because there's two sides to every story, right?
Yeah, there is. And I think there's quite a bit to talk about. And what I'm enjoying right now about our discussion is that we're on the nice screen porch, and every once in a while a bird's going to chirp and we can have a wonderful discussion.
You know what? Just as an aside, I have to say that I love the birds in Texas because they have the prettiest songs that they sing every day, and I just love listening to them.
You know, and you know, I think I want to talk about silver linings out of this whole thing. But one of the silver linings I know you're realizing is that Dr. Ron's turned into a handyman, and I'm doing all sorts of handyman work. Not complicated stuff, mind you, but I think I put up every single bird feeder that we have.
Well, who'd have thunk, you know?
And
all the years we've been married, you have not been a handyman. So you're turning over a new leaf in this coronavirus time.
Yeah.
And you know what? I bet that there's a million other guys just like you, because I was talking to one of our friends yesterday, and he happens to be staying home, and she's still having to go to her office. So he's kind of bored. So she said, yeah, by sometime around August, he should be done with his honey-do list, and then he's really going to be bored. But that's what he's doing. He's doing a honey-do list, and I imagine a lot of other guys are in that same position.
Well, I know all my friends that I communicate with on social media and also on the telephone, we're all kind of like in the same boat. We're all kind of doing the same thing. Of course, you know, I've got to work more than most, isolated in place, okay? But I'm doing stuff that I have not touched for quite some time.
Don't I know it?
But you know what? Did you notice I filled up that deer feeder yesterday too? So
all of the neighborhood animals are well fed thanks to us.
So. Yeah. Well, let me start out, I guess, with some perspective on where we are with the coronavirus, and you know, I've got the latest stats and everything. So I thought I'd just start out generally with the United States. And as of today, we've got almost 331,000 cases.
Wow.
And we topped the 10,000 mark today with regards to fatalities.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a serious issue. However, what I thought was really interesting about the statistics is, and I want to talk about Texas too. So that's in the United States. So let me just switch to where we live in Texas. And so we only have 154 out of 254 counties reporting. So it's either because they don't have any reported coronavirus cases, or they just haven't reported yet.
Okay.
But so that's a little bit over half have reported. And out of that, and we have a little over 29 million people in the state of Texas. And so we've got a total of 7,276 cases with 140 deaths attributed to the coronavirus. And we've tested 85,000 people.
Wow.
So that's pretty interesting. Now, well, in our little neck of the woods, in the Texas Hill Country, and in our county, we have 11 cases and zero deaths. And we've got, I think it's about 44,000 people in our county, and the town we live in has seen some, we've seen some pretty significant growth in the last 3 years. When we first came here, I think we were up to 10,000 people. I think now we're looking at about 14,000.
Oh, really?
Thousand people, but we have zero deaths in our entire county, so that's good news.
And 10 of the 11 were travel related, and one was a relative of one of the travel related. So we don't really have anybody that that has the virus here where we live that is not travel related.
Yeah, and that's true. And I want to talk about over 7,000 cases that we have in the state of Texas. I pulled up the stats for that, and 6,332 were close proximity related. So in other words, someone that had a coronavirus that you were in close contact with. So right. A good friend, a family member, maybe somebody coming over for dinner, somebody spending time with you, and then you're contracting coronavirus. But speaking of travel, and I want to spend some time on that because I think that's a danger. Out of our over 7,000 deaths in the state of Texas, they've determined that 1,600 were travel-related deaths. I'm sorry, cases, not travel-related deaths, but travel-related cases, 1,600.
Okay, but that means that 5,400 were not.
So. Right, but the vast majority, as I just said, over 6,000 were close proximity cases.
Okay.
Okay, so it's not necessarily someone that's touching something and coming up with coronavirus when they go back to determine where could this person have contracted coronavirus, and they do that history. You know, what's your history? Tell me, where have you gone? Who have you spoken with? You know, when did you start feeling your symptoms? We're finding that over 6,300 are close proximity.
Okay. You know, what I'm surprised at, Ron, is that so many people are still not taking this very seriously. And they're still out socializing. And we know a number of those people ourselves. We are not part of that group. We are taking it very seriously. And most of the people that we know and socialize with, and including most of our family members, are taking it very seriously. Now, we do have a boy in law enforcement, so he's going to be out and about. We do have a boy that's a firefighter, so he's somewhat going to be out and about.
Well, he's injured, though.
He's injured right now.
But he's still going out and about, which is a problem.
Well, he's not going out and about, but he does meet up with a friend here and there at their home, and I don't even want him doing that. And then, but still, there are people that are out and about, and I commented this morning on our way to work that there was a lot of cars out today, which surprised me, actually, because, you know, it is a small town, and the streets are kind of rolled up, everything's closed. So I'm not sure where everybody was going to today. But anyway, people really, really need to take this seriously. And I know some friends of ours feel like it's just a flu and it's not a big deal. And they're kind of living their life. They're not in the state of Texas. So, you know, I don't worry too much about getting anything from them. But the thing is that it is dangerous. And you don't know which version you're going to get of this illness, if you're going to get the bad one or you're going to get a simple one.
You know, I've said this so many times, but there's three levels of knowledge. I know what I know, number one. Number two, I know what I don't know. But the one that's the most worrisome is I don't even know what I don't know.
Yes.
All right. And I'm going to humbly put myself a little bit of part one. I know what I know, right? I know learning quite a bit about coronavirus. But I don't know what I don't know, meaning when I talk with staff, doctors that I have on my team, on my forensic death investigations teams, good physicians, and when I talk with other doctors, and when I see what's being documented, reported, and discussed in the medical community, there is so much that we don't know.
And
so
that is what the doctors who are much smarter than we are about this are saying.
Absolutely. Okay. So, and what I want to talk about there is because, you know, it's interesting that you sort of, I don't think you use the words, but played down the coronavirus. Okay. So we've got a small town newspaper, and about a month ago, in March, the editor wrote an editorial sort of playing down the coronavirus. And he said, basically, it's just like the flu. That was a month ago, right? Now, in all the full disclosure, he said, you got to watch out. You got to take precautions. You got to do things like that. But he just really sort of played it down. And we already had enough information in March to know that this was going to be a real serious thing. Has it killed as many people as H1N1, influenza, the swine flu, which now everybody talks about, mentions it as the seasonal flu, No, it hasn't. But there are huge differences between normal influenza and this coronavirus. Another thing is, we really don't know exactly, nor may we ever know exactly, what the gestation period is for this virus. In other words, how long does it take to incubate in the body? Now, the newest medical information I've looked at is you start seeing symptoms between 2 and 14 days, between 2 and 14 days. All right. And then I think everybody knows what the symptoms are. And if they don't, you know, they should probably look them up. But here's the thing. That's 12 days. All right. So between day number 2 and day number 14, that's 12 days. So if you extend out the incubation period for the virus, just think how many places you go and how many people you've contacted before everybody's sort of self-quarantining. Just think about that. And then to extrapolate further, think about how many people that you come in contact with at the store, you know, all, even when you're out trying to do essential, you know, shopping or something like that. And then you have to think about what you don't know about that person, right? Has that person been traveling? Has that person had contact with someone with coronavirus? You know, all these different things. And so you could start out with 100 people that contacted 100 people. So that's 100 square that contacted, you know, thousands of people or tens of thousands of people. Once you extrapolate that out, here's the next thing. How many surfaces for the infected people, how many surfaces have they touched?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. And then look at all people like us. You know, we even right now, when we're supposed to be fairly well educated going into, you know, our second month with this thing, how many times inadvertently do you touch your face? Right? I mean, just think about that and think about all the precautions that you and I are taking right now. And there, as you indicated, there's people not taking any precautions.
Right. Well, and the other thing that is a little disturbing right now is that they've come up now that they're finding that lots and lots and lots of people have coronavirus, are contagious, but they are asymptomatic. So they aren't feeling any symptoms, yet they are still able to pass it to somebody else. And there's just case after case after case that I hear of every day that breaks my heart. I mean, today you had the older couple, I believe that they were 72 years old. They've been married for 50 years. And they died in hospital beds next to each other, 6 minutes apart, holding hands. There was a young man I spoke to today that on the phone to try to help me fix our internet because our internet went out during a rainstorm. And he was very good, and we did get it fixed. But he told me that his dad is in the hospital on ventilators with coronavirus and somewhere in the Midwest. And he got it by traveling to Florida about the same time as the spring breakers were there. So I told him that, you know, when his dad gets well, he needs to give him a really hard time for being out on that beach with the spring breakers. But he said, I hope I can give him a hard time, yeah.
You know, I think the important thing is keeping this all in perspective and not panicking, because we do see a lot of panicking. And where that comes from is people that don't take the time to educate themselves or listen to the idiotic mainstream media that has got far more, you know, political agenda than it does really trying to help Americans, you know, to get through this crisis. I don't want to get political on this thing, but I want to talk factually. You know, factually, your chance of dying from coronavirus is very small. However, okay, why take that chance? Why take the chance that you're going to get sick, where you pass that on to someone in your family, and then that person passes it on to maybe an elder member of your family, or all the people that have the pre-existing conditions, respiratory distress, heart failure, kidney problems, you know, respiratory issues, things like that, pneumonia people, you know, why take that chance? And when you think about all the tens of thousands of items that you come in contact with when you are out there shopping, not when you're in your home, when you're out there shopping, when you're out there driving someplace, getting some fast food, picking up the groceries, going to Costco, for God's sakes. I don't know why the hell people are going to Costco. And the longer that you stay inside a building that has recirculated air, the higher the risk becomes. And that's why you don't see us inside of stores anymore. And you don't certainly don't see us, and I'm not putting Costco down because we're members and we love Costco, but come on, you know, those people that are standing in line, those people that are inside Costco, those people that are inside any kind of business that's got recirculated air, and you don't know who's infected, like you said, who's asymptomatic or whatever. That's not a chance that I want to take at my age.
Well, and people are somewhat foolish to believe that you have to be older or you have to be health compromised in order to have this affect you a lot. That's not true at all. There's lots and lots of cases of healthy young people that are getting this that also are dying. And, you know, we could go through examples of that, but why do that? We all have heard about it.
Well, let's reflect back on this and grab our first cup of coffee in the evening. This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. If you'd like to find out what forensic criminologists really do in the field, and you're tired of the false narratives about law enforcement and want to unpack the cases that I've worked throughout the nation, then please pick up a copy of my new book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, on sale right now at Amazon.com. That's The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police at Amazon.com.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, as we celebrate our 4-year anniversary, thank you for making it all possible. We are a grassroots movement of patriots, blogs, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, we're back with our first cup of coffee of the evening, and I wanted to hear what you had to say.
Well, I'm going to do a frost my socks moment because, you know, as you said, we don't want to make this political. However, we're not the people that are making this political. When I watch the news conferences with the president every day, I get very frustrated with the gotcha questions that the media are asking the president. They're stupid questions. I mean, and we all know it. Let's just be real here. They're stupid. And they're only to try to trap him into something. But what's worse than that, Ron, although I think that that's ridiculous and I don't think it should happen at all, you have people in the media like Mika Brzezinski on MSNBC who out loud on her news show wonders if Trump has a financial tie to hydroxychloroquine because he has praised that drug as a drug that has had some positive effect. It's a malaria drug, and it absolutely has had some positive effect. And he has said all along that it is up to the doctor if the doctor wants to prescribe that and feels that it would help that patient. But to come out and try to intimate that President Trump is touting this drug because he would gain something from it is just despicable. And another despicable...
Can I say something for just a second? I don't know if our, you know, friends and everybody knows that every single quarter, President Trump donates his salary as President of the United States to a worthy cause, a worthy charity. This time, the President of the United States for this quarter donated his entire salary to, I believe, veteran cemeteries. Okay.
And another quarter, he did donate his money to the coronavirus somewhere in that system to help eliminate it.
Yeah. So here's a guy that's clearly, and I saw something in one of the financial papers that talked about he's actually, since he's been president of the United States, his income has gone down by $1 billion.
Wow.
Okay. Whereas when you take a look at Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and Schiff, all of their incomes have risen, and Hillary Clinton have risen exponentially.
Yes.
Okay, I mean, way through the stratosphere.
Yeah.
So I just find that mean, and I just find that disgusting.
It is disgusting, and it's very, very sad and very angering. But here's another one. There's a Democratic lawmaker, a woman in Ohio by the name of Tavia Galonsky, who, again, we're talking about the hydroxychloroquine when Trump is talking about it as press briefings. And she says she's had enough. I've been to The Hague. I'm making a referral for crimes against humanity against President Trump because she feels that he needs to be prosecuted for touting this drug. Now, he's not giving the drug to anybody. He's leaving it up to the doctors. He's listening to the medical opinion of many, many physicians that have said that this drug has a good effect. There are people who have received this drug who will tell you that they thank God that they got it because it saved their life in a very bad time in this illness. So what kind of lawmakers do we have? And you and I have talked about this forever, Ron, I have so little respect for so many people in our government. But one person that I have a lot of respect for right now is President Trump, because I feel that he has handled this. I mean, who would know how to handle this? For heaven's sakes, everybody wants to second guess him. Who has all the answers to this?
Right. You know, nobody. Here's the answer. Not even the medical professionals have all the answers to what's going on.
And they don't all agree.
And they don't all agree. You get a bunch of doctors, I don't care what it is, you get a bunch of doctors in a room and they're not all going to agree. You get a bunch of lawyers in a room and they're all not going to agree. Certainly if you get a bunch of politicians into a room, they're not all going to agree. And if you get a bunch of American citizens in a room, as we've learned, they're not all going to agree. But here's what I look at. I look at the heart. I look at the intent. I look at the behavior in what a person is doing, like President Trump. Okay. And is he trying to move the country forward during times where we are really in dire straits?
Yes.
And he's got to be a cheerleader. And I don't think that the media understands that. You have got to be a cheerleader. When you were at war, just think about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, and he was a cheerleader for the United States. He had to be a cheerleader for the United States, even when we were getting our butts kicked by the Japanese and sometimes by the Germans on two different fronts. We were losing thousands of people in battle, but he had to go on frequently and keep the American people moving forward. And even after the Depression, before World War II, he had to be a cheerleader because we were in horrible, horrible condition.
Well, and it's the same now, but you know, this is unprecedented in our lifetime. And he was handed something that he would have, I mean, just no way. Everybody should think about, like, what if this was handed to you and you were in charge?
Oh, yeah.
What would you do?
Absolutely.
I mean, it is mind-boggling. I think he's doing an amazing job. Maybe they make some missteps. They can look back at that later, but that would be to be expected. But that man is out there day and night on TV. He's in meetings. He's doing everything that he possibly can to get all of the information to move equipment around to help the places that are in trouble. And even the governors who have been the worst to him, like Gavin Newsom, has complimented
him. And Cuomo.
And Cuomo have complimented him for, you know, his entire effort in their behalf.
You know, I want to mention something too, and I don't want this to come from a political sense or direction, but just compare and contrast. Just think about President Trump, and I'll bet you the man doesn't get more than 2 to 3 hours sleep a night.
I know.
Okay, can you just imagine? I mean, even when you try to close your eyes at night, okay, can you imagine all the stuff that goes through his head? I know when I have stressful times, when I've got some cases that are very pressing, I stay awake, and sometimes I'll stay awake all night. And, yeah. And this guy has got the weight of the entire nation and the world on his shoulders every single night. And I just want to say, and again, without trying to be political, but look at Biden and look at Bernie Sanders. Do you think, rhetorical question, do you think that those guys could stand up to this pressure?
Well, Biden is hunkered down in his basement, and I haven't heard a word from Bernie Sanders. So
yeah, but you see what I mean? Yeah. And I think people lose appreciation. I don't care what side of politics that you're on. For God's sakes, give the man some credit.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, this man is trying to direct so many efforts, and Vice President Pence. I mean, these people are in, you know, up to their necks in this thing and have to come back every single day, sometimes twice a day, for press conferences in front of a very angry,
hostile.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a much better word than I was going to say. A hostile media.
Yeah.
And then try to bring something, you know, tell the truth, get the facts out there, but also leave Americans with some hope, for God's sakes.
Right. And then you have a Nancy Pelosi who wants to make a commission in order to have subpoena power on the coronavirus situation so that they can find something that he did wrong. I want to go back to this person in Ohio, though, Representative Galonsky, because what she's saying is that she's going to go to The Hague, okay, and she's going to the International Criminal Court, and she wants him to be prosecuted.
Yeah, let me know how that works out for you.
We are not members of that group.
No, we're
and
not.
You have to be a member of that group to be prosecuted by that group.
Well, you know, you
so,
think
so. What this tells me is that this person who's loudmouthing all of her opinion, which is wrong, by the way, doesn't even know what she's talking about.
Well, I think this is grandstanding, and what it does. I'm just going to give you my personal opinion, and I don't. Maybe there's a lot of people out there that disagree with me, but I find this very distracting, unnecessarily distracting. I find it tedious. I find it boring. These constant attacks on the President of the United States and this, you know, the Adam Schiffs and the Nancy Pelosi's and the Schumer's trying to, you know, jam on our President of the United States when, you know, he's leading the ship towards war footing, for God's sakes. So anyway, I mean, but that's that. So what else is on your mind?
Well, I was looking at the poor man in the Navy.
You mean the captain?
The captain, yes, the man in the Navy.
The man in the Navy.
Yes, that one.
On the aircraft carrier.
The captain of the aircraft carrier that, you know, that kind of complained about and worried about out loud the coronavirus being on his ship. And by the way, a lot of people on that ship have tested positive, and now including himself. And he was summarily dismissed by the acting Navy secretary. And that guy went and kind of did the same thing that he did and badmouthed him to his men. His men, by the way, when he left the ship, they gave him a standing ovation. This just shouldn't have happened. And President Trump has now said that he's going to get involved and take a look at this. You know, I'm not saying that he was right in what he did, but he was a guy that was worried about his team.
You know, there's a great movie. It's one of my favorite Matthew McConaughey movies. And I think it's called U-571. I might have the title wrong, but I think a lot of people recognize the movie. It's the one where the Americans try to get the encoder. And so they have to take a submarine and rig it to be like a German submarine so that they can get the Enigma encoder. Anyway, there is a very famous scene between the Cobb or the chief of the boat and Matthew Carnegie, where Matthew Carnegie, who this is his, after his captain dies during a very violent encounter with the Germans, Matthew has to take over the ship. and he expresses a lack of confidence. And I can't think of the very famous character actor that basically chews him out. And he says, don't ever forget that the captain is a mighty, overwhelming, awesome presence on a ship. Right? Don't ever forget that. And I will tell you that I think that there have been mistakes on both sides. You know, when I first looked at this, I kind of questioned the Navy, you know, what the hell are you doing? And then I learned more about this. And I will tell you from what I've heard is that the captain of the ship absolutely made some mistakes, and that he followed his chain of command at one point and then moved away from his chain of command. And I don't know why, but then he writes an email and he copied 20 different people, but it wasn't a secured email. And he put it out there that they were in bad shape on this ship. And that's, and then a guy from the San Francisco Chronicle, because the captain's from San Francisco, somehow somebody leaked it to him, and then the poop hit the blower. I will tell you that as a, you know, someone that's familiar with command, you can't do it that way. It is, I have no problems with the captain caring about his men. That's what you do. Okay. Whenever you're a leader, I don't care if it's the Navy or you're in business. You get up before your people get up. You make sure that your people have everything they need, and you go to bed after you put everybody else to bed. And the captain had good intentions, I believe, but his execution was faulty. That being said, I don't think it was the business of the Undersecretary of the Navy to take this man out publicly and basically whip him in front of the public and embarrass this man and destroy his career. I think that I'm sorry. And President Trump spoke out today and he made one comment. He reflected that he believes, based on everything he's seen, that the captain had good intentions, but he made a mistake. But at the same time, and I like what he said, I wouldn't want to see a man's excellent career destroyed because he had a bad day. Okay. And I'm kind of like that. That's me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the captain had a bad day, or he had a bad week.
Well, now
all
it's
right?
worse for him because
but now it's worse for
many
him.
Of his men have coronavirus, which he desperately wanted to prevent. 150
oh,
I think
on
it's
a,
more than that now.
Well, it was 150 on a ship of 5,000, but now he's come down with coronavirus.
Yes.
And I just, what the president said really resonated with me. Okay, should we take a guy and just completely destroy this man's excellent career because he had a bad day or he had a bad week? And nobody died as a result of it. Okay.
You know what I'd like to see through this time is I'd like to see the good news stories and the ways that Americans are lifting each other up and the things that they can do to be their best instead of their worst at this time. And I think that some of our politicians are in that be their worst time. And I think some of the media is as well. And I think it depresses us, and we don't need to be depressed anymore. Listen, I've spent the last several days, you know, trying to get my loan so that I can bring my employees back. And, you know, that's been very frustrating and a little bit disorganized, I think. I actually was on there applying today and it kicked me off and then I wasn't allowed back on.
And you were halfway through.
Yeah.
I can't
so it was
imagine
very frustrating.
'Cause I don't do that kind of stuff. I can't imagine how frustrating that was to be on the phone as long as you were
on
the phone.
No, I wasn't on the phone. I was on
on the computer.
Yeah, on the computer.
Right.
And I was, you know, so, and I'm sure lots of people are in the same position because so many people are applying that it crashes their systems. But, you know, there are a lot of good news stories if you look for them out there. There are, you know, there was a firefighter who, I think he's only 19 years old and he has coronavirus and he's in the hospital. So again, another lesson that you don't have to be an old person to get this and have it be very, very dangerous. And his guys, you know, took one of the big ladders up and because he was up on the second floor and they held signs outside of his window, you know.
See, that's cool.
Just so many different ways that we can uplift each other and help each other, you know, help some of these people. One of the things that we have fun with, which is kind of a crazy thing, but I think a lot of people might, is that so many people that we know are having fun with food during this time because they're not eating out and they're having to be creative because maybe they can't buy what they usually buy. So they have to make things up to make. And we're having a lot of fun sharing that on social media, the things that you make and the things that I make and the things that our friends make. And, you know, kind of becomes a contest and we have fun with it.
And you know what? Speaking of that, I want to go right back to that because I love that discussion. It's a silver lining. And we'll do that when we have our last cup of coffee.
Okay.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, healthycell.com/sleep.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the people, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Just before we broke for a cup of coffee, we were talking about eating food and and probably drinking too much.
Yeah.
Now, it was interesting because I saw an article in the paper, and I believe that alcohol consumption has gone up in the United States by 52%
wow.
during this. And you know what? That's to be figured.
You know what else is going to go up?
No.
Birth rates.
Oh, I think, yeah, absolutely birth rates. Yeah. But, you know, I want to kind of stay on track with that and talk about the silver lining. All right. You know, I mean, I want to think of something positive or some things that are positive about this terrible thing that's happening to everybody in the United States and, in fact, globally. You know, one of the things that I wanted to say is our good friend Giovanni from Florence, Italy. It's his birthday today.
Yes, happy birthday, Giovanni. Okay.
So ciao and buon compleanno.
Yes.
And but a positive thing, talking about our favorite city, Florence, is that Giovanni reports to us that they are starting to see a little bit of a flattening in their bell curve, all right? And that's because they really have gone to extreme restrictions, and nobody is walking around out there. Certainly nobody is driving cars around. And Giovanni has sent us some beautiful photographs. And this morning, when we were having coffee, he sent us a couple of videos, and they were drone videos going over the city of Florence.
Yes.
And it was absolutely beautiful, but again, ghostly.
Yeah. And, you know, anybody can go on YouTube and look those up. It's drone videos of Florence during the coronavirus.
And you can look up any city.
You can look up Rome. You can look up a lot of different cities.
We looked at Milan. We looked at Rome. We looked at Florence.
But Florence, I think, was the most beautiful out of them that I looked at. But it is, you know, I recognize everywhere that drone was. And it is very, very beautiful. And like you say, it's very ghostly. But
and you know what's cool? And I don't want to spend too much time on Florence, but Florence is such a cool town because you can walk it. Okay?
Yes.
So if you're a tourist, and if you've never been to Florence, people that have been to Florence understand this, but if you've never been to Florence, it's like Venice. You can walk it. All right. And you can go to all these famous, you know, places, the Duomo and I mean, all of these beautiful places and museums and see the David and everything like that. But anyway, so that's just Florence. And I just wanted to say what a nice thing that Giovanni's birthday was today. And the good news for him is he's isolated with his family in the Piazza di Aldobrandini, and they're all together.
Yes.
So that's a positive thing.
They're doing well.
Yeah. Can I mention a positive thing?
Sure.
Without stealing everything, but I just wanted to mention a silver lining for me. I'm used to traveling, as you know, right? And I'd probably, before all of this stuff was happening, I probably do anywhere between 8,000 and 14,000 miles a month, doing all of the traveling around the United States and working on these cases. And you travel as well, young lady. We try to travel together as much as we can, but right now neither one of us are traveling, and we are isolated
in our home
or at the office, right? Where nobody else has access to it. Nobody else has access to it. And I'm actually enjoying my time with you. And it's different, isn't it? It's just kind of different because we're working together all day long. I mean, we are together now 24/7.
Yes. Yep. 24/7.
How do you feel about that?
No, I'm very at peace with this. And, you know, I mean, it's springtime in Texas, which is just so beautiful. And I just love looking out the back and seeing all the trees and squirrels running around and different things. I really, you know, the other thing I really, really have enjoyed, first of all, I've enjoyed having fun with the food. And secondly, I've enjoyed sleeping in a little later. My whole life, since I was 15 years old, I have worked. And to be able to sleep in a little later in the morning, oh my goodness, that is a huge treat for me.
And boy, you know, you and I usually get up, you know, about 06 early hours in the morning, okay, when it's just like pitch black. And we've been kind of being lazy people, getting
we're
up
waiting
around
till like it's light,
8 o'clock
amazing.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And but I'm enjoying that, and I'm glad you brought up the food, because we're cooking all sorts. I mean, you and I haven't gone into a cookbook in a month of Sundays, and now we're going into cookbooks. We got the new Ninja thing that the kids got us for Christmas, and we're finding new ways to cook food, and then we post it. I got a competition going on right now where people on Facebook are posting, you know, the meals that they're cooking. Oh my God, it looks so good. Everybody's having a really good time with that.
I want to tell you a few more good news things, because I think that we all need that right now. So there's a little town in Illinois called Earlham. I'm sorry, not in Illinois. I just lied to you. It's Iowa, near Des Moines. Okay. It's a little town called Earlham, and there's 1,400 people in this town. And an anonymous donor sent $150 in gift cards to every household in that city.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, people just do some wonderful things. And there's some more. There's a little boy who was going to be adopted, and they couldn't go down and do the paperwork. So they completed the adoption ceremony and did everything over the phone, and he is officially a family member now, and that's
Wow. That's
wonderful. There's some older people, actually over 100, that have had coronavirus and survived it, and they're extremely spunky and fun to look at on the internet, and, you know, they're just have a great attitude about the whole thing. But there's lots of people doing, you know, just getting creative. There's a grandfather and his little granddaughter who are social distancing from each other, so they're about 10 feet apart, but they're having a dance-off contest. You know, I mean, there's so many fun things that you can do. There's a Brooklyn landlord who just canceled the rent for his hundreds of tenants.
Wow.
And there's stories like that all over the place. There's a stranger who offered to pay the rent for an out-of-work waitress. And there's a man in Michigan who used $900 of his savings to buy gas for nurses. You know, there are so many good stories and so many good people. And it speaks to the heart of America. And it's the part that we don't talk about enough and we don't see enough. But it's there every day.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, everybody talks about the first responders and, you know, the medical personnel and everything like that. And those people are truly heroes. But you know what? I want to also talk about other unsung heroes that are out there. You know, take, for instance, the people working at HEB, right, which is our chain, large grocery store that we have in Texas. Okay, there's HEBs all over the place. And, you know, they've got their online service. And even so, with the online service, they are inside these stores and they, exposing themselves to danger, right?
Sure.
To danger. And the people working at the restaurants and the fast food, you know, places. And, you know, they're in there together and they're still exposing themselves to danger. And there's people that you're coming in contact with every day that are out there serving the American people, right? And it's an apolitical thing, right? They're out there, they're serving the American people, they're rising to the occasion, and I couldn't be prouder of those people.
And there's companies out there like Popeye's Chicken, and you know we like Popeye's Chicken.
Yeah.
And they're not only open for people to do takeout, but they also work to feed children that maybe don't have their meals during this time. So I mean, there are so many stories, and you know, I actually would love if people would send us an email and tell us of any stories that they know, because we need that good news, and it's out there, and the news is not reporting it. They should be reporting it. They should have a whole section every day.
No,
you
know,
on nothing but
they
good
they
news.
Really should. And you know what, who I left out? I left out our military. So our military, I mean, can you imagine the logistics of moving something like Navy, moving the ships, the hospital ships, the Hope and the Comfort? And I think the Comfort is back east in New York City, and the Hope.
Mercy is in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yeah. Because it comes from San Diego, right? I think, and I could be, well, I know the Mercy comes from San Diego because I've seen it. I've seen it docked there many, many times. I don't know if the Comfort comes from like Virginia, you know, coming up from Virginia there. But anyway, it's just amazing stories about people doing heroic things that they've never been faced with before, you know, and companies retooling, mm-hmm. making masks, making PPEs, doing all sorts of stuff. Again, like World War II, and I am a huge World War II, you know, person that loves the history. And this is what happened during World War II, where we were taken by surprise and we had to ignite the military industrial complex and also all sorts of ideas to put our people to work, to feed our people, to feed our soldiers, sailors, Marines, our Army Air Corps at the time. You know, everybody and the sacrifices that had to be made. And, you know, it was interesting because I saw a photograph, Linda, and it was on Facebook, and somebody took a photograph of the war rationing during World War II. You know, you could only have like 3 ounces of butter a week, and you could only have like 8 ounces of meat a week, and, you know, so much salt and so much this and so much that. And I'm saying, wow, you know, here we are. We're eating so much food, we're probably going to gain weight. And people during World War II were saving everything for the war effort and growing victory gardens at the same time.
Right. And one of the things that I, you know, heard from the farmers is that they're actually having to throw milk away from the cows because since so many restaurants are closed, they're not selling as much.
And the schools.
And the schools are closed. And it's, you know, it's not something you can save. So, you know, that's a shame. There, you know, there's another company I want to mention is, you know, the shoes Crocs, mm-hmm. right? I guess that they're kind of rubber shoes, right?
Right. And ones with all the holes in them.
Yeah. Well, they are donating 10,000 free shoes a day to healthcare workers. And it's funny because, having just had knee surgery, and I had an appointment with our doctor not too long ago, he was wearing Crocs. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh, I was there. I was there. I saw him.
I said, never saw a doctor wearing Crocs before.
I said, what interesting footwear.
Yeah. So, and you know, there are places that you can go on the internet if you really want to get a fix of what good news is, I mean, just Google good news and you'll come up with a bunch of different ways to see it. There's MSN News, which is not MSNBC, it's MSN News. They have a good news section. And there's a number of other places that you can find people that are doing amazing things for other people during this time. And I think that that's important. Again, you know, we do have an election coming up. We need to be watching what's going on. We need to be seeing who's making the right moves and who's, you know, who's obstructing the right moves, right? And I think that we need to really pay attention so that we vote in a way that moves our country forward in November.
You know, I am really hoping that there is a silver lining in this whole catastrophe that we're involved in. And here's what I would, you know, pray would happen. And that is that we place our, I mean, we're always going to have politics, okay? But we take the mean and the angry and the hateful politics and we get rid of that, okay? We can have social discussions, respectful discussions, and I'm hoping that the American people are going to remember how this president and his administration worked tirelessly to save us all. And I hope that they don't forget, like you said, Linda, they don't forget the people, the politicians and the media that obstructed or always had something negative to say while the president, his administration, first responders, military, medical staff, even your grocery clerks were working tirelessly and heroically to move America forward.
Yeah, and you know, just one last thing that I want to say, since the CDC has changed their thoughts on wearing masks, some masks are hard to get. I know because I sell them and I spend my entire day trying to find the different types of masks, whereas the N95 or the KN95 or surgical masks or just medical masks. But now a lot of our wonderful clothing manufacturers have stepped up to the plate and they are making masks out of different materials, cottons and jerseys and things like that, that they're not a save-all for people, okay? But what they are is a help to people. And it'll do two things. It'll keep you from touching your face, and it will also help if you maybe have an infection you don't know that you have. It will help you not to give it to somebody else, and it will also help somebody else not to give it to you. So if people don't have the means to buy one, because I have to say, because I sell them, that it's difficult to buy one. I mean, my minimums to buy them, the cloth ones are at least 200, some manufacturers 1,000. So what I've done is I've put them into my warehouse so that people can buy 10 if they need them or whatever. But
and I don't know I don't know anybody else that's doing that, by the way. They're talking about everybody else is selling like thousands and 10,000s and 100,000s of these masks.
But you know, people need, you know, so if you're in a little ice cream store, you don't need a 200. So I'm trying to help those people along the way. But I'm sure that Amazon, maybe you can buy less, I don't know. But I'm just saying that this is new. And they're out there, and it's a great way for us to have an additional way to protect ourselves. And I have ordered some for us, and we are going to be wearing them anytime we leave our home.
And some hand sanitizers.
Oh,
right?
I've ordered mass hand sanitizer. Oh, yeah.
Boy, you know, we were talking about this the other day real quick, but you remember how many conferences we've gone to and conventions for you?
Yes.
Okay, at Proforma. And, you know, your vendors are selling hand sanitizers and they're basically throwing hand sanitizers at you. And we put them in our little bags, but we never use them or rarely use them as of like, just before this happened.
Yeah, now we're digging them up everywhere we can find them.
Now I'm going back into my drawers, and I'm saying, where the hell's that darn hand sanitizer?
Yeah. I mean, the world changed very quickly for all of us, didn't it?
It did. And you know what? People like yourself, maybe even
me, people that I know, friends of mine, people that are in law enforcement trainers and things like that. Everybody, I mean, this is the new normal now. So everybody is retooling. Everybody is, you know, rebranding, retooling, trying to figure out how to make this thing work. But the bottom line is, and I agree with you very much, we have to keep moving America forward.
And look for those silver linings.
Absolutely.
Because they're there. And, you know, we can all get something that's a treasure out of this.
And the last thing is, if you're running into people or listening to people on television or on the radio, whatever, and it's negative, 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 and criticizing, get that flotsam out of your life.
Shut it off.
Just shut it off. If you've got good common sense and you're paying attention and you've got a smart device or a computer, you can look up all the information that you need to survive through this thing. Isolate in place, pay attention to your personal hygiene, and, you know, extremely limit your contacts and going outside, and we will all get through this together.
Yeah, we will. And some of us will enjoy having that little extra time.
And I'm enjoying my time with you.
As I am as well.